Hello, I'm Jo Brand and I'm annoyed. The unacceptable levels of homelessness this Christmas are no joke. As the cost of living soars, people are being pushed out of their homes into temporary accommodation and onto freezing streets. Crisis at Christmas offers a hot meal, healthcare and help with a place to stay. The start of year-round specialist support. This Christmas, I'm standing with Crisis. Join me. Search Crisis at Christmas and donate £29.07 today. Thank you.
What makes a masterpiece? For L'OR coffee artists, it's the desire to create beauty in every sip of L'OR coffee. The finest, most unique flavors and the richest, deepest aromas. Artfully blended so you can enjoy a moment of pure coffee pleasure. L'OR. A masterpiece in taste. To find out more, please visit loreespresso.com and use the code PODCAST30 for 30% off the L'OR coffee products range. Offer valid until the 31st of December.
You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Thanks for joining us. Another week, Tim. It's almost Christmas time. It's a nice brisk feel outside. How you doing? How's North Carolina treating you?
It's good. I was noticing that two weeks from today, I think, is Christmas. Something like that. Have you done any shopping yet?
No, but I have a list. The internet's so convenient. You can literally wait to the last possible minute and just have it delivered. So it's very convenient to be a tardy buyer. Why not?
Just because it gets crazy. I don't think Amazon guarantees stuff this time of year. Just because it's hard to...
They give you the date where they can deliver it by. Will be delivered by a certain day. I should do it today. I don't do big presents for my wife because I don't buy for the kids really just because it's a lot. She does. And it's you got to buy for all of them or you buy for none of them. And she's buying for the kids, but I'll buy for her. And I just don't, we're doing a bunch of little things. So I don't, the big thing is going to be, I'll buy the big thing for the kids. I don't want to say it on the show because who knows who listens to this show. Maybe my kids do. Maybe one of their friends does. I don't know. But I'm going to buy something big and then hopefully Santa comes through because I'm not buying much. You know what I mean? Santa's got to pick up the slack somewhere along the way. But no, it's exciting. What are you doing for Christmas?
I'll be going home. Because my brother's wedding just happened and everyone just spent a ton of money, especially him and my mom. I think we're probably going to keep it pretty small this year in the way of gifts and just focus on quality time and family stuff. So yeah, we're driving up Levi and I next week.
That's exciting. Yeah, my parents just left. They were in town. First time in a long time.
Yeah.
And they got a hotel with a pool. I tell you what, my kids in the pool the whole week. They came on a Wednesday. They left yesterday.
They were in indoor pool.
Indoor pool. Yeah. No, not an outdoor pool. It could be heated, I guess. But no, the kids in the pool. Good seeing my parents. It was nice catching up. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Anything else you want to touch on, Tim, before we get to the NHL action?
No, let's talk hockey.
So let's do a little roundup here. Lots of action, lots of stuff to talk about. It's that time of year where there's just, you look at the schedule and every single night, there's like 5 games, there's 8 games, there's 10 games. Every single night, there's something happening. And there's a game, what was it, last night, Flames-Leafs. If you would have asked me before the season to predict a Stanley Cup and have an educated guess and think of, you know, pick a two teams that you think could make the Stanley Cup, this would have been it. The Leafs, obviously, they got the talent. They are just primed and ready. They've had, obviously, everybody knows the failures the last 15 years. Losing in the first round, they suck. They got a chip on their shoulder. Calgary Flames, same scenario. Lost their two superstars this offseason. Massive chip on their shoulder. Everybody thought they were going to regress. They go out, they rebuild, they retool. They should have been back better than ever. While one team has lived up to the billing, another team has just struggled. Calgary Flames, I don't know what to make of this team. I really don't. They can't score goals. One night their goaltending's terrible and their defense is good and their goaltending and their goal scorers can't score. The next night their goaltenders are great and their defense is terrible. That was as was the case last night when Daryl Sutter was just ripping apart their defenseman. They cannot seem to get a consistent effort. On the other page, the Toronto Maple Leafs started the season inconsistent, same old, same old. We had Steve Dangle on the show. We said, this team is done. Stick a fork in them. I can't trust them anymore. Then they rattle off a million wins in a row, even while losing their goaltenders, even while losing three of their four, their top four defensemen, and they're still winning. Going into the game versus the Calgary Flames, pretty good game, all in all. I would say this is the thing the Calgary Flames do. They play. I think they play to their competition. Because they played the Columbus Blue Jackets last night and they lost 3-1. And it was just like, what are we doing here? They go and play the Toronto Maple Leafs and they lose 5-4 in overtime. But it was a great game. But there were some issues here. People were having a little bit of an issue with the referee, Tim. The penalty disparity, the timing of the penalties themselves. Break down what the issue is. Issue is here with the penalties.
Yeah, I had a few DMs about this one, people complaining. I saw, obviously, a lot of commentary on Twitter, Leafs fans upset, including a friend of the show, not a friend of the show, listener of the show, Dale, who I talked to here and there. And he pointed this out, and he's a Flames fan. And basically, it's a game in Toronto, Hockey Night in Canada broadcast. You kind of know that Toronto's going to get the swings. And so even when Hanifin scored in the third, and they go out 4-3 in the third, the lead never feels safe. And I think I don't want to sound like a tin hat conspiracy theorist. I think there's definitely the Leafs will get some calls. You can say the same thing about Boston. And Steve Dangle even posted the stuff on Twitter over the weekend about all teams, the data's there that all teams always get the better calls at home. Fine. But kind of questionable. That late one that led to the bunting goal that tied it up. And then off the opening faceoff in overtime, a Huberdeau, sort of incidental contact with was it Sandin or Engvall, and gets the stick in the face. And like, he sold it a little bit. You can tell Sutter wasn't happy. It's probably a penalty, unfortunate series of events. And then, of course, they go on to score in the power play and the game's over. And what I feel like the Flames, for the most part, the fans especially, feel like they had a game taken away from them by the refs.
Well, what do you think? Do you agree with this, you know, conspiracy theory that Toronto always gets the good side of the calls? The refs always give them the benefit of the doubt, whether it's a 50-50 call that always goes Toronto's way, especially on Hockey Night in Canada. Because Daryl Sutter, he did not even mix words. He not so subtly said, that's the one thing I learned a long time ago. When you're in Chicago all those years ago, when you come to Toronto and you know what goes on, I won't say nothing more. But he said it in his Daryl Sutter way, where he's kind of just mumbling, that's the one thing I learned, I won't say nothing more. Where it's just like you have to get an interpreter to understand what he's saying. But do you agree with this? Do you think this is a legit thing that the referees, the NHL, Gary Bettman, are colluding to make sure Toronto, A, wins on Hockey Night in Canada, which is the biggest hockey night of the year on the biggest channel for the NHL, and B, that Toronto is a successful team that makes the playoffs and has, you know, a long playoff run this year? Well, obviously, I don't think the playoffs tie into this because they've lost a million years in a row, but A, the first part, do you think that the refs are in cahoots with the Leafs trying to get them a power play every now and again?
It's hard to say if it's like a legit operative conspiracy and there's an actual like command that comes down from the top. I think some of it happens naturally. And there's a reason that I think. So here's Steve Dangle's stats that he shared. Since 2016-17, so over the last 5 years, the Leafs are 16th in penalty differential at home. And the Flames are 17. So they're pretty much dead even. They're within one penalty of each other. And in those 5 years, only two teams in the entire league have had a positive penalty differential on the road. That was the Florida and Chicago. All other teams are getting more calls against them on the road than for them. And so yes, you could say it's true for the Leafs. I understand it's a frustrating loss for the Flames fans, but I think it's a league-wide thing. I don't think it's specific to Toronto.
Yeah, I agree. There can't be a conspiracy, right? You always watch these recap videos of people. Oh, it's a rigged game. This is why the NFL is not real and it's fake. And they say it about the NHL. I played in the NHL. I had never once seen a referee so egregiously call a penalty for another team over and over and over again. Referees are human. They're influenced. So whether it was Daryl Sutter just being on the referees all night, or a certain player, or the fans in the crowd booing him when they call a penalty for, you know, the Calgary Flames, and they're reacting and saying, you know what, in the back of their head, maybe we should call one for Toronto. We got to even this up.
Well,
that's the thing. Go ahead.
That's a loaded statement you just said, because what you're talking about, this is what Tim Peel got in trouble for and why his career ended a little bit early, because the refs controlling the game through the way they call penalties. And the idea of a makeup call, for example, we're like, okay, we've called three in a row against the Flames. Now we owe them one. No matter what happens on the ice, they're already thinking about how they can even it up. Or say you have a goal that gets disallowed that shouldn't have, or a penalty that was questionable. You know, the next call that could go either way is going to go in their favor to quote unquote even it out. And that's, a lot of people take issue with that.
Well, it's what happens. I can honestly say this happens all the time, where if a team goes into the intermission and you're up by two, if you're up by three, there are talks going around the locker room saying, okay, we have to be extra careful with our sticks. We have to be extra careful with our position, because the next call will go against us. And it happens every game. If it's a blowout or some team's getting embarrassed, the refs won't pile on that team. That's why you can see the other team getting a little more liberal with their sticks. They're getting a little more aggressive. They're trying to change momentum. They're not getting called for those penalties. But it happens every single, well, not every game, because some games are close, but most games when the teams are up by two or three or four goals, the refs will try to even it up. They'll try to make it an interesting game. Now, I don't know if that's from the top. I don't think it is, because there'd be too much ramifications if one of these refs ever did get fired or something happened, and they, like Tim Peel could go scorched earth if something ever happened like that, where he got fired and he said, you know what, here comes all the receipts. I got stuff from this one, this one, this one, this guy told me this. So I don't think it would ever happen like that. What I think happens is the human emotions come into play. The referee's like, gosh, this is a bad game. Like, this is a really lopsided game. We need to make this even. And so the referees, in the back of their head, maybe they don't do it consciously, maybe it's subconsciously, where they're just like, we need to help this team out. I feel bad. It's 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0. Do you think they're going to continue to give power plays to the team that's just cranking away power play goals? I don't think so. That's where the human element comes in, and people might hate that. But at the end of the day, it makes games interesting. It gives the other teams a little bit more hope. And then that's just the way it works. Everybody wants to help the person that needs help. You're not going to give the guy who's up by four goals more opportunities to pile on. It is what it is. And everybody understands it. All the players understand it. All the coaches understand it. That's why my coach will give me the tap. If we're down three or four, he's like, all right, just go for it. You're not going to get a penalty unless you do something egregious. So you can give the goalie a shot. You can try to start fights. You can face wash in the scrums, and you won't get called. But if it's an even game, or if I'm winning, I'm getting 2-4 minute penalties. So it completely changes how you play the game, the score. And it shouldn't be that way. Ideally, it's just blinders on referees, and they just call the play. And you're not affected by the score. You're not influenced by anything. And you call a penalty, and you call plays as they're supposed to be. But that's not how it goes. And you see it in football, too. If a team's down, you saw it in the, Tom Brady came back, and then the Dallas Cowboys. You see it in football. If a team's trying to come back, they get a few more flags. The refs help them out a little bit. And the same thing happens in hockey. They get a couple more power plays, and away we go. So the human element is very much real. And if we don't want that, if you don't like that, get the refs off the ice, or just keep the refs for offsides and icings. And you have someone in the stands calling penalties. You have a neutral observer who has not on the ice, not even in the rink. He's in Toronto. And you call a penalty, you call down, the light goes on above the penalty box, and that's a penalty. But even then, they might be swayed as well. I don't know what the answer is, but I don't think you'll ever take that human element out of the game. And I don't mind it. I really don't. So what are you going to do?
I don't either. And if you're the one benefiting from this, you're probably not too upset about it. Mostly evens out. And then even with that game, there were 18 penalty minutes in minors for the Flames, and or sorry, 16, and then 8 for the Leafs, 7-4 in penalties. One of the Flames with a double minor. And so, yeah, that's pretty lopsided. But if you over the course of the season, it tends to even out. So I understand this is the frustrating loss, but what are you going to do?
I think the Flames, they're in a funk. There's something going on with this team. It's funny. I looked at the box score afterwards. I like to check how the minutes squared out which forwards are playing a little more, which defensemen are playing a little more. The Leafs defensemen, they just roll them. Like, they literally, all of them played 20 minutes apiece, except for the bottom two, because the top four played 20 minutes exactly. And the bottom two only played 13 and 14 minutes. And I said, what's going on here? That's when I looked at the power play penalty kills, and because the Leafs used their forwards on the power play now that Riley's out. So they go predominantly five forwards on the power play. So I was like, ooh, that's interesting. But yeah, who cares? Like, honestly, when, and here's the issue that gets batted around in Calgary. Daryl Sutter's a great coach. Multiple Stanley Cup winner with the LA Kings. Has not had the kind of success that one would expect in Calgary with the talent that he has had. When is his time up? Because he's a very John Tortorella-esque coach. He expects you to do something. If you don't do it, you're going to get benched. He has a certain type of message. If we lose, I'm going to bag skate you. He's just a very old school type coach. He's not bringing any new age ideas. They have a very simple forecheck, a very simple D zone. When does that kind of message dry up? And when do the players stop responding? And when does it come to a point where the GM says, hey, man, like, I got to let you go because this is a high-end team. We're supposed to compete for a Stanley Cup. And I'm looking at the standings right now, and if the playoffs started today, we would not be in it. And we're supposed to compete for a Stanley Cup. We brought in Kadri. We brought in Huberto. We brought in Uyghur. We re-signed everybody. We're relocked. We reloaded, and we're losing. Is Sutter on the chopping block? Should he be?
He's got to be. I'm sure he's had those conversations. Not, you know, maybe he's not quite losing his job territory yet, but I'm sure he knows that the GM isn't pleased with him. And if you look at, like, you got to give him a little bit of extra leeway just because of who he is and his track record, and also just the situation that he found himself in, where their top six got completely reworked, retooled overnight, basically. And that takes a little time to settle out, like we're seeing. Like, Huberto is a much better player than 17 points in 25 games. Kadri is much better than, well, I'd say maybe not much better, but he's still finding his way. And so, and you got guys like Toffoli, yeah, okay. Lindholm's a goal scorer. He's had multiple 40 goal seasons. He's got nine so far. And so I think they're better than this. And you also bring it back to that Pacific Division. They can, one good week puts them back in second place. You know what I mean? Like, it's so close. So I think they'll be fine. And I don't think that they, it would have to be much worse than this for them to let him go, I think.
And then you mentioned Huberto. At what point can we say that this system doesn't work for Jonathan Huberto? You know, because Johnny Gaudreau, he's there to replace Johnny Gaudreau. Johnny Gaudreau drove the play. He facilitated. He was an excellent hockey player. Maybe Huberto isn't that guy. Maybe he just fit in nicely in Florida's system and he had some good supplementary players around him who complimented him very, very well. I don't know. I don't think he is. And I'm going to give him, you know, the benefit of a doubt based on his history, but gosh, he's not performing at all, Tim, at all.
And going back to Johnny, we haven't talked about him at all, basically since the trade. I haven't heard any headlines about him. I assumed he was struggling too.
No.
31 points in 27 games on a really bad team. Like, what?
Both guys the Flames gave up are playing fantastic.
Yeah.
Kachuk and Johnny are playing great. They haven't lost a step. They haven't skipped a beat. Like you mentioned, Gaudreau's on a bad Columbus team, and he is playing great. Kachuk's on a very good, well, not a very good, like a mediocre Florida team at the time. He's playing very good. And Kadri, even Uyghur, is not playing that great. So I don't know what needs to happen in Calgary. I really don't. They have the horses in the barn, but they're not playing well. Is that the coach's fault? I don't know. Something should change, because this is too good of a team to be wallowing at 10th place in the Western Conference. It doesn't cut it. And I like Daryl Sutter. Did you know I made the All-Star game?
I did.
He was the coach for that All-Star game. I really got a chance to talk to him. Great guy. So I have a lot of respect for him. I have a lot of respect for what he's done. But at what point do you have to just cut bait and say, you know what? I know you got the Hall of Fame resume. I know you're going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. All that aside, I know you got the Stanley Cups. You're going to have your name in the rafters at one point for somebody. But we got to let you go. It's not working. I think if you need to make that change, it has to happen now. The Flames are mired in a massive slump. They can't seem to figure out why. They can't score. Markstrom is terrible. He's not playing well. He'll have one good outing, then the next five will be just junk. The defense is the same. They're playing okay. And then they throw a stinker in like last. Something needs to change there, Tim, because this team is too good. The opportunity is there. The Western Conference, like we mentioned a lot, is weak, so they can dig out of this hole. So it's not hopeless for them. Whereas if they're in the Eastern Conference, like Florida, I think has a harder road to get to the playoffs than Calgary does right now. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, that it's just the East is just so much stronger, I think, at least deeper. And Florida is not going to have an easy time winning those points back when they're playing teams like Tampa and Boston and Toronto and all those other teams basically every night. And even the teams that are quote unquote bad in their division, Montreal, Buffalo, those are not easy matchups. Those are not nights off like they used to be. And Ottawa, even, I think, is 5-4-1 in their last 10. Like they're a solid team too. All those teams are winning, have a winning record in their last 10. So where does Florida get those points?
Who knows? You got to beat the teams ahead of you. And right now they're not doing it. But back to the Flames. I think they'll be fine. I think this is what I would do. I let Daryl Sutter do his thing, and I just let him play the season. I think they'll be fine. Just get to the playoffs. That's all you want to do at this point. Make sure everybody's healthy. I think you got a good team that's built for the playoffs. Strong down the middle, very good back end. And hopefully, Tim, Markstrom finds his game. Because right now, it's Vlader's net. Or Vladder.
Vladar. But hey, do you have Markstrom in fantasy?
Probably. I have all the bad goalies from Canada.
You have Demko and Campbell. Yeah. None of those guys even have their job anymore.
Campbell's not the starter. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. But no, I probably have Markstrom. I don't know. But I'm going to hold on to him because he has to turn it around. He's too good. He's going to rattle off like 3 shutouts in a row and the Flames will go on a 10-game winning streak and they'll be fine. They're going through some growing pains. They're trying to figure out the first and second line where everybody fits. Right? That's you have to hope for that if you're a Calgary Flames fan. If not, and this team doesn't work, then you're in trouble for the next 5 to 8 years. You really are, because you have hitched your cart to Huberdeau. That's your guy. Him, Lindholm, Uyghur, this is your team. If it doesn't work this year, oh my gosh, we are in trouble. But to talk about the Leafs, though, they've won 3 in a row. They haven't lost in their last 10. They look pretty good. They're missing 3 of their top 4 defensemen, Tim. Stanley Cup or bust for this team?
Well, I saw it looks like the way things are shaking, they're destined for another first round matchup against the Lightning, which is that's a tough one to draw. And they've obviously never beat that team in the playoffs. So I don't know. It's hard for me to get. Does this feel like a different team? No. Does it feel like a better team? Maybe. But is that enough to get past a really good team in the playoffs? I don't know. And which goalie is going to do it for you? I don't know.
Well, right now it's got to be Murray, you would think, the way he's played the last couple of weeks. But again, things change fast in the NHL. He could turn around and go on a 8-game losing streak and he stinks. But I really can't wrap my head around the Leafs. I really can't. I said it before the season. They're a great team. I expect them to make the Stanley Cup Finals. I really do. I hope they do. It'd be fun to watch. All right. What's next?
I'm keeping a respectful distance from the Leafs. I'm not getting too involved. You know,
you don't want to get hurt. I agree. Yeah. You've been hurt too many times.
I've been there. I got to protect myself.
You do. You really do. It's sometimes, you know, definition of insanity. All right.
Yeah.
Washington Capitals, Tim. What are they doing?
It's a similar thing. I feel like I'm setting myself up for failure a little bit. But the Caps, as much as we like to butt our heads with the Capitals fans on this show, they're a team I think we haven't spent enough time talking about. They have a quote-unquote... Well, you're shaking your head.
Why would we talk about them?
Okay. They have 7-2-1 in their last 10. The Ovechkin doing his goal-scoring thing. They won 4 straight. He's on a 46-goal pace. Like, he is not slowed down even a little bit. And Darcy Kemper, who we talked about being, like, an average goalie who you know, struck gold in Colorado, he's 8-9. Not great, but he's 2.5 goals a game, .916 save percentage, 2 shutouts. He's been actually pretty good this year. And their backup, I'm forgetting who it is, has also been pretty solid. I think this is a team that they are 1 point out of a playoff spot right now. So they very easily could make their way back into it. I think we need to be a little bit more aware of this group.
No, we don't. Ovechkin, all he does is score empty netters. That's all he does this season.
5 in like the last 10 days or something.
Yeah, it's a joke. So like he's going to get a bunch of empty. This stupid coach, every time they get an empty net, he throws them out there and he just takes a 2 minute long shift. You know, he's not even thinking about the team. He's thinking about his goals at this point. He just, it's a joke. But no,
I'm sure that's not true.
Washington is a good team. They're a good team.
Are they? I'm surprised to hear that from you.
Well, they have good players. When you look at their lineup, they're a good team. They got Strome, they got Sheary, Ovechkin, you got Anthony Mantha, who came over in the trade with Detroit. Lars Eller's always there. He's a jerk. TJ Oshie, Kuznetsov. Like, they have good players, right?
No, they're not back a joke, end. John.
What?
You're not a joke, John.
I really don't like Lars Eller as a human being. He's a good hockey player, but as a human, if I saw him in an alley and he was thirsty and he hadn't had a drink of water for 5 days, I'd spit in his mouth. Now, we might edit that out. That's aggressive. I would help him out. But, you know, they're not one of the elite contenders in the East. They're a good team. And what do I always say? What are we in it for? We're in it to win the Stanley Cup. They're not going to win the Stanley Cup. They're not. So they're just sacrificing draft position, right, at this point. Yeah. They're going to land around the 15, 16 mark of the draft, and they're going to get some mediocre first rounder who maybe, you know, slots in as a third line player. That's it. So what's the point, right? What are we doing here? Backstrom's out. Tom Wilson's out. You're missing Darcy Kempfer. He's not playing anymore. You have a couple more injuries. I think Hagelin and Browner haven't been playing. So you're still playing well in spite of all those injuries. Good for them. That's it. Like, I don't, it's not like they're beating really, really, really good teams. They had a good game versus Winnipeg. That's great last night. But, you know, you beat the Kraken, you beat the Flyers, you beat the Oilers, who are not the same team. Calgary waxes you. You beat the Vancouver Canucks. You lose to the Devils pretty decisively, 5-1. You know, are you beating the really good teams in the East? Are you really going to compete when it comes playoff time, or are you just going to make the playoffs as the eighth or seventh seed, just get waxed in the first round, and away we go? We got our Stanley Cup. That's great. And this is the case. The Washington Capitals and the St. Louis Blues, they both won Stanley Cups. They got lucky. That's it. That was it. That was their year. We're not going to see him again. The same thing's happening with St. Louis. Same thing. You're done, Tim. It's done. Ovi's getting empty net goals, and they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be the seventh or eighth seed, and they're going to get waxed in the playoffs. And that's it. And then we can rehash this audio next year, and we'll use it again next year because we used it last year and we used it the year before. It's the same thing.
Okay. All right. First round matchup, Capitals versus Maple Leafs. Who do you like?
Leafs. 100% Leafs. I don't know how that's even a question. Leafs.
You say that, John. They haven't won anything. They haven't won.
The Leafs?
The Leafs, they haven't won a round.
There's no one.
How can you pick them over anyone?
No one in their right mind that would take the Washington Capitals over the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs. You got to be nuts. Stop. We're not that podcast. We're not that show. No.
Okay.
No, there's no one in the East that if I line up for the playoffs, game one, and obviously you're getting rid of all the bad teams like the Columbus, Philadelphia, Ottawa, Buffalo. They're not making the playoffs. The Rangers, Islanders, Penguins, Hurricanes, Devils, Bruins, Leafs, Lightning, Red Wings, Panthers. All 10 of those teams are favored over the Washington Capitals. Without a doubt. Hands down. What do you think I was going to say?
I thought you said Toronto would absolutely beat all of those teams.
No, no, no. Okay. All those teams are favored against Washington. So to say that the Capitals are a threat, they won't even make the playoffs. I don't know why we're even discussing this. They're not making the playoffs. Good for them. They're on a winning streak. Ovechkin keeps getting empty netters. I don't know why I'm dogging him so much, because I like him. I really do. I love his game, but I got put into this box where I hate Alex Ovechkin, and I don't. He's a phenomenal player, the best goal scorer who's ever graced the ice. But I just don't think he's going to break Gretzky's record. Does that make me a jerk? Does that make me public enemy number one in Washington all of a sudden? Like, just, am I allowed to have a different opinion? The Red Sea, the Washington Capitals. What a joke. Can you take an iota of criticism or someone having a different view than you? Washington sucks. How about that? They're not going to make the playoffs, and they've won four in a row, and they're getting lucky. That's it. Okay? That's how I really feel, but I was trying to be nice. They're a dumpy team, and they'll be lucky to go 500 the rest of the way. They got a murderer's row schedule, I bet, coming up because they've just had a cupcake schedule. This is what Tim does. He gives me a little rope and he sits back in his chair and he just watches. And I just start talking and I'm trying to be politically correct and nice. And then I just blow. They play Dallas, Toronto, Detroit. Ottawa's a win. Winnipeg again. The Rangers. They got Montreal, Buffalo. So they should go 500 of those games because they'll win versus Ottawa. They'll win versus Buffalo. They'll sneak one out versus Columbus. But once it hits the crunch time when their schedule, when they got to go play the Islanders and the Rangers and they got Colorado, they get Vegas, they get Pittsburgh, they get Toronto again. They're going to lose all of, they get Boston. They're going to Carolina, Florida, Carolina, Detroit. They're going to, then they get Anaheim. They're going to lose all those games. And I hope they lose by a lot. So Ovechkin doesn't get any empty netters and then he just doesn't score any more goals. Then I can laugh and have a good night's sleep, but it's not going to happen. But would you say something? Cause you're just sitting there smirking like a little something or other.
Yeah. Just getting out of the way. Well, yeah, I don't totally disagree with you. I thought it was worth bringing up because they have surprised me. I picture them. I thought they were doing worse than they were, but they're right out of the playoff run. The playoff picture, they've gone on a little bit of a run here. So something to keep an eye on, I guess, for the hockey fan.
Our listeners, let me know if I'm wrong. Let me know. And not the Washington fans, because I know you're going to cheer for your team, but everybody else. Are you legitimately on board with the Washington Capitals being a contender? Because I don't think they are. I really don't think they are. I think the Penguins are, for whatever reason. I have that vibe about the Penguins. I don't think Washington is. I think they're old. I think they have a lot of injury concerns. I'm not in love with their back end. I like Darcy Kuemper, but as a whole, I don't feel threatened by them. So call me crazy. And I would love to hear what you have to say. So drop a little comment. I read all the comments. Let me know what you're thinking. And if I'm wrong, I'll admit it. But I don't think I am. Moving on. What are we talking about, Tim?
Yeah, another guy that you do like, Tony DeAngelo, or DeLangelo, as you like to call him, was a healthy scratch the other night. What's going on with him?
Torts, baby. He's back. He is Philly. After their great start, Torts is trying to send a message because they have just gone sideways. The message is not sinking in. They're not playing the way he wants them to play. And the fall guy right now is Tony DeAngelo. So Torts comes out, and this is the good and the bad with John Tortorella. I don't know if he has pulled Tony aside, because he likes to do it on the ice before games. You know, he'll skate beside you and you'll skate around the rink. Usually that's not a good sign when the coach grabs you and he's talking to you. That's what Torts does. He doesn't call guys into his office unless it's really, really egregious. He called me into his office once. I was only there for like 8 weeks and he called me in. It wasn't great. We had it's just an FU match back and forth. It was to be a fly on the wall with that one.
What was the reason behind that one again?
We had a team meeting and he told me in front of the whole team that I was going to be with the Black Aces and not with the team anymore. It was after the second round in front of the whole team. He's like, John, you're going to be with the Black Aces. And in front of the whole team, I was like, what the beep? I'm like, you got to be beep and beep. And he goes, come to my office. And so I followed him in there. And we just screamed at each other.
Love it.
Because I already knew my time in New York was done. I talked to Glenn Sather. He wanted the toughest guy. What did he say when I walked into his office? I want the toughest guy in the league on my team. And that's you, he said. I'm like, all right, sounds great. I didn't like the city as a whole. I couldn't do it. So I already knew I wasn't going back there. So I was like, whatever, man. You're not getting paid in the playoffs. I don't even think I got a playoff share. They went to the Eastern Conference Final. I didn't even get a share of it. That's how it ended for me. But anyways, so Torts, he does his business on the ice, unless it's, you know, he takes you to the office. So he probably grabbed Tony and he just skated on the ice. And he's just like, listen, Tony's not known for his defensive zone play. Can we agree on that? So I don't know why Torts, this is a surprise to him. He's had time to play with Tony. He's coached him. And so he says, you know, I'm going to scratch you. I don't know how Tony reacted, but after that pregame skate, Torts got up and he said this about Tony DeAngelo. He said he was a rover. And sometimes you're a rover as a defenseman. It's in the offensive zone. Well, he was roving all over the place in the defensive zone, and no one knew where he's really going to go and check. Shot across the bow. You know, because there's offensive defensemen. There's guys who are given a little bit of a liability, a little bit of a rope in the O zone. The Makars, the DeAngelos, the Carlsons, the Foxes. You're allowed to kind of get creative. Well, that rope gets a little bit tighter in the defensive zone for most players, especially if you're coached by John Tortorella, especially if your team's mired in a massive losing streak. I don't know what they've done in their last 10, but they're 2-5-3 in their last 10. They've been struggling. And Torts prides himself on defense, and he can't stand a defenseman that isn't in the right spot at the right time and who's just playing loosey-goosey in the D-zone. Guy's making $5 million. Benched him. Healthy scratch. There you go. Sending a message to who? I don't know. This is a John Tortorella that I don't know if he's doing the right thing. He's trying to send a message to the team. He's trying to get them to respond. He's trying to maybe mix things up a little bit. He's playing Cam York, a young kid who was picked up in the draft 5 years ago, giving him a chance. Does it work? Tim, I don't know. Do all the guys respond when he does this? Did they go out and win? Was it a great game? No, it wasn't. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. They lose to the Arizona Coyotes, for Pete's sake. The worst team in the league. Didn't work.
Yeah, one of the things I think I've learned over the last couple of years of doing the show is, like, when stuff like this happens, when a player or a GM or someone in the front office or whatever calls out a player publicly in the media, it's kind of like it's elevated to that point. Unless it's really egregious or something really bad happened, it's usually not the first time the player's heard about it. And so it's kind of like, listen, I've had this conversation with you 3 times. It hasn't been addressed yet. You haven't made the adjustments I feel like you need to make. Now I'm going to put you on blast publicly a little bit. And that's sort of, there's always a backstory to this. There's always context and history here. And I'm sure that's the case with this. I'm sure it's not the first time we had that conversation. And I mean, I don't know. I'm sure it's no big deal, but if anything, it's probably just a little embarrassing for D'Angelo, not only to be scratched, but to see those comments. I'm sure he's not going to like lose sleep over it, but it's definitely a little embarrassing. And so hopefully it does a trick. Again, to what end? To what's a measurement for success for the Flyers this year? Like, what's their goal at this point in the season, given the start they've had and the players they had? I don't know, but I would like to think maybe you see a better stretch from D'Angelo when he's back in the lineup.
Do you think that's going to happen? Do you think this guy likes to get called out? He's active on social media. I would feel like the opposite should have happened, where you pull him aside quietly and you say, you know what? We need more from you. We're going to bump you down to the third pairing. We're going to limit your power play minutes. You need to be better in the defensive zone. That maybe would have been a better way to go about it rather than embarrass him in front of everybody.
I'm sure he did, though. That's my point.
I don't think Torts does that. I don't think that's in him. I think he yelled at him in the video room, screamed at him, and he said, if it happens again, you're done. You're done. That's what Torts does. And then he did it again, and he played loosey-goosey because that's how he plays his game, and he's done. So he's a healthy scratch. It would have been great if Philly would have won. Then Tony would have been out again. I'm calling him Tony now because I'm self-conscious about his last name because I don't know how to pronounce it.
It's so very easy. Hey, here's a question. Put you on the spot a little bit. Which player in the league is like the least Torts guy possible? Who's the last guy Torts would want on his team, regardless of talent?
Probably like an Oliver Ekman-Larsson on the back forwards? End. A forward? Well, like an Austin Matthews or a Patrick Laine. A Patrick Laine. He had him. And we saw the results of that. It's a guy who just and Laine is a perfect example where he's like, he knows he's a goal scorer. He wears a turtleneck like for a reason. He wants to stand out. He's like, I'm going to score goals, man. That's what I do. He's like, Patrick, play defense. He's like, I make H mil. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to score goals. I'm not going to get in the lane. And that's all I'm going to do. And they butted heads. And Patrick Laine got traded. So John Torts won that battle. But that's the type of guy he just hates. But on the other hand, the type of player he loves is like a Travis Konecny, guy who's blocking shots in every scrum. He is the epitome, like a Callahan when he was with the Rangers. That was his guy. Ryan Callahan was the, if you could mold a player to be a John Tortorella type player, it was him. So, and it's not Tony DeAngelo. It ain't him. It's a Dan Girardi. That is a John Tortorella type player. You know, we'll see how it works. I don't see the light at the end of this tunnel. They're saving grace. His friend of the show, JVR, his contract's up. So they'll get $7 million back. Maybe they can use that for something else. But other than that, this team is This team ain't looking good. We don't talk about how bad of a situation they're in. We talk about other teams. They're in a bad situation. Kevin Hayes is locked up. Atkinson's locked up. Konechny, Farabee, Lawton, Delorier, Provorov, Ristolainen, Sandheim. Like, oh.
How did Delorier get a four-year contract?
I like Nicky Delorier. I would take him on my team.
Too. 4 years, though?
He's 31. He was a coveted free agent. He is able to keep up, arguably top three toughest in the league, and he can contribute offensively sometimes. He chips in. You know, he's not a liability. I would take him any day of the week. I like the way he plays.
Didn't he have a playoff goal last year?
I thought he had a hat trick.
I don't know about that. You know what I want to talk about? Nick Foligno. And okay, Bruins, here we go. But listen, Nick Foligno last year basically couldn't have had a worse first year in Boston. He had 2 goals, 11 assists. He played 62 games. Just couldn't have gone worse. Everyone's saying, like, get rid of this guy. He was healthy scratched a handful of times. He was getting overlooked in lieu of other guys like Oscar Steen and all these other kids. And then something happened. And he spoke this year before the season started about, like, wanting to be recognized and remembered as a player that he is and a goal scorer. And after coming off a 2-goal season, it's kind of a bold thing to say. He could not look like more like a different player this year. The confidence, the way he's skating with the puck, he's got 14 points in 27 games, which is 43 point pace, which is, I would easily take that from him. But it's the way that he's playing. He's playing physical. He's creating chaos and disruption in the offensive zone and the forecheck. He's out there killing penalties. He's on the second power play unit. He's can completely earn the trust of Jim Montgomery. And I think vice versa, because Montgomery's clearly gotten something more out of him than Cassidy. And honestly, you could say that about just about every player. And like critical scenarios late in the game, you need an extra goal, you need a penalty killed, that sort of stuff. Foligno has emerged as one of those type of guys. And I think he's got the IQ and everything too to do well in those types of situations. And now he went from being like, can't wait till he's out of here, we should buy him out, that was heard over the summer, and now he's adored by Bruins fans. And he's also like one of the clear chemistry locker room personality guys. They all love him. The goalies love him. He's like the third goalie. That whole goalie hug they do, he's always the one. He's always right there. It's just pretty cool to see a guy can kind of come back after a really bad year last year.
Yeah, he was put on waivers to start the season. Any team could have grabbed him. Nobody took him. So and what's the key to the Bruins here? In your eyes, is it the just better player of their third and fourth line? Is it the fact that they get Krejci back and their first line is a little more stable now? Jake DeBrusk continuing his success after the end of last year. What's the key here to this team's success so far?
Well, it is all of those things, but all of those things can take a step further. It's because of Jim Montgomery. Honestly, he's getting things out of these players. Talk about going from good to great, like Pasta, Marchand, Berge, you know they're going to do their thing. McAvoy, you know he's going to do their thing. But the way that he's getting stuff, way better production and performance out of guys like DeBrusk and Trent Frederick and Carlo and Lindholm, what a revelation this guy has turned out to be. And then goalies, it's Montgomery's system. It's the system. It's the energy. They're creating offense and they're thinking about way different ways to score rather than overthinking like they're responsible two-way type of play. Because they already have the type of personalities, but they're not going to get reckless anyway, no matter what the system is. So let them play a little bit. And this is the result. So I think all that credit has to go to Montgomery.
Yeah. The depth is, he's really unlocked the depth. I think the way he's kind of, and he hasn't like reinvented the wheel and moved the lineup around. He's still got Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak playing together, but just the luxury, I think, of having Krejci in to solidify that second line and having Jake DeBrusk, like you said, playing better. Taylor Hall is having a great season.
Him on the third line now. Like they're really balancing that out. And they're getting Zaka. They brought Zaka up to Krejci's line. And then sometimes they put Pasternak and DeBrusk. They flip them. They can do a lot of different combinations. Hall loves playing with Coyle and Frederick. And then you put out a fourth line that has Foligno, like we just mentioned. It's just, it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun to watch. And the defense is playing great. And obviously we talk about the goaltenders quite a bit, but it's just, tell you what, the Bruins, if they're not the number one seed going into the playoffs, they're darn close because they're playing really good hockey and they're beating everybody. They're winning all types of ways too, which is really important to me.
Remember like 2 weeks ago, we talked about their tough schedule coming up and kind of a gauntlet they had with Vegas and Colorado and some other tough teams. And I was thinking, you know, given the way they had been playing, and I thought maybe they'd go 500 and I'd be fine with that. And then they'll get back into their winning ways. They went 7-2 down the stretch. And the games they lost was Vegas and which is kind of an emotional game with Cassidy back in Boston. And then the other with the last night against Arizona or 2 nights ago, which is a weird game. They lost off a really weird turnover. Did you see that?
Now, was that in Arizona, Tim, that loss?
I think it was. I don't remember. But it was a weird play where there was they thought it was going to be an icing. It didn't get called. And then they turned over the puck and it was, I mean, a bad play, kind of fluky, but still 7-2 down that stretch, even to a team that you should have lost. I should have beat. It's just nothing to scoff at. So they can beat anyone. They beat Colorado twice.
I'll tell you what's happening. We saw it with Vegas when they became a team. It's the home ice advantage for the Arizona Coyotes. Everybody, when they used to play Arizona, they'd go and stay in Glendale. They'd stay right beside the rink. You couldn't do anything. They had a couple restaurants there and that was it. It was a good half an hour, 40-minute drive. If you wanted to go anywhere, if you wanted to go into Phoenix, if you wanted to go into Scottsdale, it was a long drive. Guess what? Now you're in Tempe. Now you're right downtown. You can get anywhere and you can get anywhere quick. You're pretty much on campus. The boys are going out when they go to Arizona. That's what it is. You get out of the cold weather. You go to Arizona. You have a couple days. You're going to play the Coyotes. It's an easy game. It is a cupcake of a game. Everybody's hungover when they play the games. That's it. I would like to know Arizona's home record. Because I bet you it's better than the road record. Because the same thing, when Vegas came into the league, everybody talked about it. Everybody was warned about it. And then sure enough, they were just flying at home.
3-2-1 at home.
Well, they're over 500.
Hello, I'm Jo Brand, and I'm annoyed. The unacceptable levels of homelessness this Christmas are no joke. As the cost of living soars, people are being pushed out of their homes into temporary accommodation and onto freezing streets. Crisis at Christmas offers a hot meal, healthcare, and help with a place to stay, the start of year-round specialist support. This Christmas, I'm standing with Crisis. Join me. Search Crisis at Christmas and donate £29.07 today. Thank you.
Yeah, Betfair. Casino.
Prize Pinball.
For no dough.
Believe
when I say free prize pinball every day.
Max one play per day. Free spins valid for 2 hours. T's and C's and eligibility criteria apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Let's bet fair casino today.
And they beat some good teams at home.
For a team that's 9-13-4 in the year, that's a pretty solid home stretch.
They're over 500 at home. And I know they haven't played much because they had to do the epic road trip because they didn't have their ish together, their locker rooms and that stuff. They played 6 games and they're over 500. It's because teams go there, they have a rookie party, they have a couple of beers, maybe they're not flying as much as they would be, and they lose. It's, you know, it's okay. It's okay, but that's why Boston lost. They got out of Boston. They went to Arizona. I guarantee you they had their rookie party. The boys went out, got a little sideways, and they lost a game. I would bet money on it, Tim. Bet money that it happened. I don't know. I'm not a Boston insider. I wish I knew some, but that, without a doubt, that's what happened. And you know what they did when they were there? Save a little money. You think they'd go to a fancy steakhouse? No, they just used DoorDash to the hotel. That's what they did. The Boston Bruins, those cheap son of a guns. And guess what? You can be like the Boston Bruins too. You can get some deals when you're in Scottsdale and you're watching the Arizona Coyotes play on anything you want. You can order burgers. You can order beers. You can order pasta. You can order pizza. DoorDash will get it to you. They get it to your door, your hotel, wherever you're staying. Even if you're in a car in a parking lot, they'll deliver it to you. And guess what? Even more, you can get a good deal. Use our promo code GlovesDDUS. Or if you're in Canada, Gloves DD, you get 25% off. You get free delivery. You guys know the deals. You listen to me every single week talk about this deal. So just use it. It's fantastic. I love DoorDash. Tim loves DoorDash. It's a heck of a deal. You're not going to find this deal anywhere else in the world, I think. Don't quote me on that, but Use DoorDash. Use our promo code GlovesDDUS if you're in the US of A, and GlovesDD if you're in Canada. It's just fun, Tim. And you're getting food. What bad can go from that? And you know who needs to use DoorDash is these three people coming up, because they're gonna be losing some money from their suspensions. They're gonna be a little light in the loafers or in the wallet. What does light in the loafers mean? I don't know. Light in the wallet, the pocketbook. Who's getting suspended? Who's Georgie Perro suspending?
Yeah, a couple of naughty boys. Jeff Skinner, he got 3 games for cross-checking Drink Edsel in the face, which was that was the worst one that we're going to talk about. That was pretty egregious. One of those heat of the moment, emotions getting the best of you. I'm sure Edsel had something snarky to say, but yeah, cross-check him right basically in the teeth. So he gets 3 games for that. And then there was another one, Alexiak, 3 games for a hit to the head on this kid, Alexiev. Did you see that hit? What did you think of that one?
He picked his head. It is what it is. He went in for the hit. The guy kind of stopped up to try to avoid the hit. And Alexiak, he's a big boy, hit him in the head. It was a suspension. It wasn't as bad as when, I don't want to bring it about me, but it wasn't as bad as when I hit Erickson. I got 7 games. I'll say that. But he gets 7, rightfully so. He picked his head. Two good suspensions. I think those are legit 3 games. I like what Georgie did with those.
Yep, and then the last one, Engvall for Toronto, got 1 game for high-sticking Sean Durzi for the Kings. Another one I thought was totally fair.
Totally fair. The one that was, Skinner one was consequential. Buffalo was playing a really good game to that point. Takes that penalty, lets Pittsburgh back into the game. I think Buffalo ended up winning that game in overtime. I can't remember, but yeah. Crosby made a heck of a play in that game where he kept the puck in at the blue line. He kind of slid across, stacked the pads, and threw a pass across that ended up getting, I don't know who scored the goal for them, but it was a heck of a play from Sidney Crosby. Gosh, that guy's 35 years old. Unbelievable. Still playing fantastic. Well, all right, Tim, let's do some quick hits and get out of here. What are we doing?
Yeah, you mentioned Matthew Tkachuk earlier, how he's thriving with his new team. As of Saturday, he had 37 points in 25 games, which is the most ever in franchise history at this point in the season. More than Huberdeau, more than Barkov, more than Jokin and whoever else, including Pavel Bure. And so really good start for him. Matthew Tkachuk has not slowed down whatsoever. Another thing, this cool story, Jaromir Jagr, did you see this? He he's coaching / owning / you know, everything else for this team, Kladno, out in the Czech League. They had an illness running through the team, and a bunch of guys had already been sick. They'd already forfeited, I think, at least 1 game. So Jagr comes in, and he steps in and skates for him. 50 years old, he had 2 assists in his debut. Just the legend just keeps on growing with this guy.
Let me pose this question to you.
Yes.
You're Liberec going into Kladno. You see Jaromir Jagr cutting across the middle. You're a defenseman. You could bury him. He is a legend in the Czech Republic. You would be kicked. You'd be kicked out of the country. What do you do? Do you hit him? Do you let him enter the zone? Any other guy, you'd light him up. What kind of treatment do you think Jagr gets in those games? Is it like when Putin plays in the Russian games when nobody touches him and he gets 7 goals? What do you think? Is anybody checking Jaromir Jagr at 50 years old in that league when he could just buy the whole league and shut it down?
I mean, I don't think anyone's trying to throw this huge open ice hiss to try to bury him. I don't think they're going that easy on him too, because if you go easy on him, he's going to score on you. You know what I mean? Or he had 2 assists in this game. He'll turn it into offense if you give him room. So you have to take him out, but I don't think you do anything to try to hurt him or anything.
Okay. So you give him a little room because he's Yeggs.
A little. Just a little. What about you?
I'd hit him.
You go harder.
I would. Why not? He's a living legend. Well, it's just like I play men's league. Everybody goes, I get the puck and all of a sudden I got 4 guys on me. I'm like, you guys, like, just play normal. They know the rest of my team can't finish. Oh man, last night we lost 4-1. And I don't try that hard. I go like 30%. I go 40% sometimes. Some guy was just chirping at me. I would say 12 to 20 passes in the slot for my team, breakaways, not 1 goal. It's just like, come on, you guys.
You need me on your team.
Would you score? Then yes, I could use you, but we need some goal scorers. That's our issue. We got a lot of effort. Efforts there.
A lot of heart and soul. A lot of character.
We're all Swedish.
No finish. A couple more quick hits here. Jack Hughes, this is a really cool stat. He finished Friday night's game with a shift that was more than 6 minutes long, which is the longest recorded in NHL history. However, they've only been recording this for like less than 20 years. So it's not like it goes way, way back. And I'm sure you can, those older guys didn't come off the ice, but still in this modern age, playing 6 minutes straight to finish out a game is pretty special. Part of that was in special teams and he just couldn't get off for whatever reason. But really cool to see.
Well, and this wasn't six consecutive minutes. There was a stoppage of play. They probably threw in a timeout in there. So, right?
I don't know. Probably.
Probably.
But no, but if that was the case, why wouldn't you take him off after he played for 2 minutes straight?
Because he's your best offensive player. You give him a little breather. That's what you do. But I don't think that's a record you want to be associated with. It's like, how pissed are you if you have Nico Hirschire and you're waiting to go on and you're like, Jack, I'm like, my leg's over the boards. Like, let's go. Nah, I'm good. You've been sucking wind for the last 3 minutes, Jack. Change it up.
Yeah, a couple more here real quick. Linus Ullmark, we talked about him, the Bruins already. He's 16-1 on the year. If the Bruins have lost, it's usually because Swayman's in net. And I don't say that in a dagger way. Friend of the show. He's a good goalie. But Ullmark has been incredible this year. That one loss was a 2-1 loss in Toronto. So, yeah, just next level lights out. And then, finally, we have the Board of Governors meeting this weekend. The owners are all down in Florida. Big kind of high-level league stuff. And it's brought to my attention that this is the 30th anniversary of Gary Bettman being the commissioner of the league, and I thought maybe you'd have a few words to recognize the moment.
Well, the owners love him. He's done his job for the owners. He's absolutely ruined. He's ruined hockey in a lot of ways. And this is just an example of Gary Bettman. So the Ottawa Senators are for sale. Ryan Reynolds wants to be a part of the ownership group. He is an Ottawa Senators fan, apparently. I thought he was from Vancouver. So Bettman is talking to every single owner saying he would really like it if Ryan Reynolds was a part of your ownership group, almost making it a necessary attachment to their deal. And it's like, what do we like now? We're in the Ryan Reynolds business where we have to have a celebrity. We got Drake with the Raptors. We got Ryan Reynolds. Like, he's just, oh, we got to make NHL more popular. So we got to bring in this celebrity. It's just, and is it me?
Yes.
Or
whatever
does,
it is. Yes.
I'm losing favor with Ryan Reynolds because he seems like he's everywhere. He's got the gin. He's got this Mint Mobile. He's just everywhere.
The soccer team.
I'm just getting sick of him. His little, you know, sarcastic, self-deprecating jokes. I'm like, you're handsome. You're worth a gazillion dollars. Stop being self-deprecating. Just, I don't know. I'm losing favor with Ryan Reynolds. And I know he's a Canadian treasure. I get that. But I'm just like, stop showing up everywhere. Now he has to own the Ottawa Senators, even though he's a Canucks fan. Or he should, because I think he's from out west. I don't know. And then Bettman. Bettman's a douche. We should get him on the show. He'd be great.
I would love to talk to him.
But 30 years, that must be the longest tenured commissioner in sports history, I would imagine, in modern day.
In the article I read, there was a picture of them opening up the new garden, I think, in Boston. And it was Jeremy Jacobs with Bettman and who was the NBA commissioner before the current one? I don't remember.
Stern.
Yeah. And plenty of, you mentioned the owners love him. Plenty of nice quotes from Jacobs in that article.
Well, Jacobs and him are just like, I'm not going to say what I want to say, but they're just like birds of a feather. Jacobs is another guy who could go away and I wouldn't be upset. He ruins negotiations every single year. He's an awful owner, absolutely awful owner. But that's a whole other podcast for a whole other show. It's just, and he's a Bruins, just Jack Edwards. That whole organization, they don't deserve. Did you see Zdeno Chara's comments about Vancouver? We didn't touch on that.
Yeah. Yeah. We touched on it briefly.
Did you hear BX's rebuttal?
Loved it. Yeah. Word by word, dismantling of everything, Chara said.
Chara looks like such a dummy. Like, why even bring it up? And what's the end game here? What's to embarrass the Canucks, to pour salt in the wounds? It's like, just take your ring, you big dummy. Like, why would you say that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he made it up. I believe, even though you can... He changes his story throughout his story. Because first he says, we saw, and then he says, we were told, and it doesn't
matter. You just said you don't think he made it up.
I don't think he made it up. I don't think he made it up.
And then
I don't
you
think
just he contradicted would. That when he just said he just
I'm presenting
changed
evidence.
The story.
It's nuanced, John. Not everything's black and white like you want it to be.
I don't think he ate the donut, but he had chocolate on his fingers and crumbs on his face. But I'm pretty sure he didn't eat the donut.
That's a dad investigating right there. Did you eat the last cookie? No,
it wasn't me. What's that in your mouth? Not cookie. Open your mouth. It's cookie. That's you. You're just defending Chara to the bitter end, even though he's just like so egregiously wrong and lying. Whatever. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. We appreciate your support. Check us out on Wednesday. We'll talk to you then. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Delivered by DoorDash.
Hello, I'm Jo Brand, and I'm annoyed. The unacceptable levels of homelessness this Christmas are no joke. As the cost of living soars, people are being pushed out of their homes into temporary accommodation and onto freezing streets. Crisis at Christmas offers a hot meal, healthcare, and help with a place to stay. The start of year-round specialist support. This Christmas, I'm standing with Crisis. Join me. Search Crisis at Christmas and donate £29.07 today. Thank you.
Yeah, Betfair Casino.
Price bimbo
for no dough.
Believe.
When I say free prize pinball every day.
Max one play per day. Free spins valid for 2 hours. T's and C's and eligibility criteria apply. 18 plus BeGambleAware.org.
Let's bet fair casino today.